All right, what happens when you pair up Woodstock's Marshall Karp and Newburgh native James Patterson to write a best-selling novel? Well, you get a book with incredible nonstop action, a Patterson trademark, and great Karp characters and crisp humor. NYPD Red 2 is the pair's third collaboration, following up on NYPD Red, or NYPD Red 1, if you prefer, and Kill Me If You Can. An award-winning former advertising executive, Marshall Karp is a playwright and a screenwriter and has written and produced numerous TV shows. Having paid his dues in Hollywood, he began killing the people he used to work with in his novels, the Lomax and Biggs series, which is a terrific, terrific series if you have not read it. He has a wonderful website, karpkills.com, karpkills.com, and it is a pleasure to welcome our good buddy Marshall Karp to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us. It's always good to see you.
It's always good to see you, and I don't think the interview is going to get any better than that introduction. I think
I
sound good, man.
Well, you are good.
You're very
good at what you do. Kylie is here, your lovely dog, Kylie's a star.
She's my constant. She is my constant companion. It really is great to have a dog when you work at home, when you work alone, and she's a distraction. She's a muse. And she's always there. You're never alone. The loneliness of being a writer is different when you have a dog.
Yeah. So, I agree. And just because it's something to that you're always there with, and it just feels right. Very comfortable. Okay, NYPD Red 2 is going to be number one on the New York Times bestseller list. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's cool.
It never gets old. Thank you. it's incredible. Get a thesaurus. It's fantastic. Thank you.
Yeah, it's very nice. So there are worse things that can happen, right? You put a book out and a lot of people read it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good stuff. So you do the first one, and then from my memory, if my memory serves me correctly, the last time we were here, because we had both you, we had James Patterson and you on together.
Yeah.
For this book, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you had always intended this to be a series, right?
Yeah, I developed the characters so they would have a rich backstory and there was a lot of place for them to go. There are two parts to the books that I write. The one is what a lot of people would call the A plot, the crime. Make it interesting, make it big, make it move the story. And then the second part are the main characters, Zach and Kylie, Zach Jordan and Kylie McDonald, two NYPD detectives working for this elite unit that serves and protects the rich and famous, which is kind of a stretch, but not totally a stretch.
Yeah.
And they have had a past relationship when they were in academy, and she went off and got married. And now, suddenly, 10 years later, they are partners. And so when her marriage starts to go a little south, and with the fact that Zach has never quite gotten over her, the sexual tension is there. They're with each other for 14 hours a day. And for a lot of readers, that's the A plot. Will they get together again? Will her marriage, you know, blow up? But he's got another girlfriend. So I'm a bit of a soap writer as well as a mystery writer.
So there are great ingredients there so that you can mix, stir, and enjoy.
I like that. Get me a pencil. Mix, stir,
and enjoy.
And then half bake it.
That's right. I was in New York. I was visiting friends, and I'm in a cab, and the little cab TV's on, and then all of a sudden, there's James Patterson, and he's talking about the book, and I thought, wow, that's pretty cool. You're in a cab ad. Good for you.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah. So so he comes, you know, I look, I'll be honest. I know he's. I know he's. You write with him, and he's your boss and everything. I have this kind of, you know, love hate relationship because I sometimes look at it and I say, well, you know, it's a brand, and I'm thrilled for you, obviously, but I think it's a brand, and it, you know, it's there's so many books in a year, and I don't know, and how seriously you take it, and I look, and then he goes out and he gives $1 million to independent booksellers and the independent bookstores, and he's going around and he's stopping in these stores and he's handing them a check, and I think, all right, you're a pretty good guy. That's a great thing to do.
He is a guy, good guy, and that is very visible activity, as is his Read Kiddo Read, where he is doing so much for literacy in America. I mean, he was down in Washington, D.C. with the First Lady. There was a day a couple of months ago where in Washington, D.C., they made it James Patterson Day, because of his contributions to the city, because Alex Cross comes from Washington, D.C. And, of course, every day is James Patterson Day at my house. But he's a very good guy and a good dad.
And it's a brand, and you're part of the brand.
Yeah, the hope is, since, he puts out about a book a month.
Right.
And in almost all cases, the co-author's name is visible.
Which is another stand-up thing. That's good.
Yes. And the thing is that my hope is that some people can tell what my contribution is to a book. But when you work for a brand, you really have to subtract your ego. And nothing helps me subtract my ego more than the award-winning documentary I am watching right now. I'm in the middle of it, 20 Feet from Stardom.
Yeah.
And there's Darlene Love, who sang all these incredible backups. And in fact, she sang lead, but the Crystals had their name on the label. And suck it up.
Is that any different? And you have strong ties to television. Is that any different of being a writer for Seinfeld, and knowing that the biggest laughs that you're getting are yours, but that cast is the one taking a bow?
I think it's different because when I was a writer in television, I knew I was anonymous. Nobody says, I saw this great show that Marshall wrote. You know, you don't remember. You remember the people on the screen. It was pretty shocking when my first book came out, and I started getting, I called it stalker mail in the beginning, but it was from total strangers who wanted to know what I had for breakfast. And I think there's an intimacy when your name is on the book, and there they are in bed reading it, and it's in first person, and they can start to hear your voice. And then, of course, you go make the mistake of getting a Facebook page and interacting with them. It is strange, but there is an intimacy between an author and a reader that I don't think happens between a screenwriter and the audience. Most of the audience is looking at Meryl Streep, or they're looking at Jack Nicholson. They're not thinking about the writer. Occasionally, they'll think of the director.
So maybe I'm going out on a limb here, but let me try this. So you're J.K. Rowling. You're the most successful author in the world ever. You've had this Harry Potter thing. It goes crazy. It's unbelievable. And so you put out a book under an anonymous name, and it just kind of lays there and doesn't do anything and blah, 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 blah. And I'm just wondering, like, do you think about, well, look, I put out this great series, the Lomax Big series. It was really good. I put my heart and soul into it. It was my series. It did great, okay, but it didn't, like, you know, bust the doors down. And then I'm writing here, and it's going crazy. It's like, well, you know, why didn't you notice me then?
You should talk to my therapist, because he could probably help you with some of these issues. But I don't know, is that a fair question? It's an interesting question. I'm trying to determine what the question is. I understand that the Lomax and Biggs series was incredibly well received critically.
Right.
Incredibly well received by the people
Who read it.
In fact, most of them come to my house for Thanksgiving dinner.
There you go.
But I get emails almost every day saying, where's Lomax and Biggs number 5? And what I have to do is try to politely explain to people that there's a delicate balance between art and commerce. And I would love, I have another Lomax and Biggs book in my computer. I have plotted it out. I've got a number of chapters, but there's no publishers knocking on the door saying, Marshall, we can't wait to invest in this.
Yeah.
But James Patterson and his publisher are ready for NYPD Red 3, which I'm writing now. So in that delicate balance of art and commerce, commerce always kicks arts. But I don't give up. In my heart, I'm going to bring Lomax and Biggs back because I love them. It's very painful for a writer to separate from his characters. That happened to me on television when, okay, this is the last show. They're not going to exist anymore. So I do the best I can to keep them alive.
Do you think, well, you know, one of these times I'm going to pick up one of the NYPD Red books and I'm going to read about Lomax and Biggs.
No, that's okay. Not a good business decision.
All right,
make me go into why.
All right,
you can probably figure it out.
I can understand. Well, it's
separate. You know, who owns that? It's you know,
right.
There's always a collaboration.
It's like hiring
between
your brother-in-law.
Yeah, writers, lawyers, agents, publicists. People buy the book and they think, oh, it's so glamorous. The guy's at home with his dog. Yeah. Meanwhile, behind the scenes.
I don't know why this fascinates me. I just wonder about it. Because I don't know. How many other writers are there with James Patterson? He has a stable.
Yeah. And they tend to be people who he's known a long time. He has some history with. But I think he also takes on some new people, depending. I don't know how one gets to be a James Patterson collaborator. But quite often, once you do, it's an ongoing gig, and.
So my question is: do you kids get together? Because that would be a hell of a party.
Yeah, we're going to unionize. It's you know, I remember when back in the day, Woody Allen had a record. He said, "You know, this is 50 years ago. Woody Allen had a record. He goes like, you know, I'm starting to make a lot of money, so I open a corporation." You know, he said, "I, my mom is the president, my dad's the treasurer, my aunts and uncles the secretaries." He said, "They had a board meeting without me. They squeezed me out." No, we do not get together.
Yeah,
there's no competitiveness. I know a few of them, and I will talk to them on Facebook or stuff. I always wish them well, but we all have our own lives.
Yeah, sure.
It's like, do you hang out with people who fly the same airplane as you?
Not that I'm more.
Yeah. Okay. There you go.
Yeah.
Bad analogy, but I'm trying to get you off this subject, Joe.
No, that's all right. I'm just curious. You have this. I mentioned the website Carp Kills, where you have information about your books, of course, about the Lomax and Biggs series, and also about Vitamin Angels, which is something. Is a singular angel one angel?
It's Vitamin Angels.
Okay.
With an S, and they have their own website, and I got involved with them in 2002, and we don't have enough time to go into the history, but there's a link and a little bit of a story on my website, and it is so dear to my heart because it's one of the few charities in the world where you can give 25 cents, a quarter of a dollar, and save some child's life. The money doesn't go to research. The money goes to a certain amount of vitamin A that will keep this kid alive during the first 6 years of his life when he is most susceptible to parasites and childhood blindness from vitamin A deficiency.
And in the most threatened places on the planet.
In the unreachable. We don't fly to squalor. We go to the country, then get in a truck and ride for 10 hours. We go to places where there is no communication. We go to places where sometimes the mothers who are bringing their children have to walk 20 miles to get those vitamins. And Howard Schiffer, who is the founder of the company, is a global humanitarian and a saint. And I owe so much to him just for giving me the opportunity to make a difference in other people's lives. When you get older, you kind of want to do that.
Absolutely.
Vitamin Angels.
Vitamin Angels. And there is a link on your website.
You bet.
The book is NYPD Red 2, James Patterson and Marshall Karp. And the book is to, for my other co-author, my grandson, Zach, write on. WRITE, write on, kiddo. And being a Facebook stalker of yours, I know your grandson very well. But
I dedicated
it's nice
the book
in the
to
process.
I dedicated the book to Zach because 2 years ago he discovered that I wrote books and wanted to write one with me. And 2 years later, because it was a process, we wrote a book together, and it's. Only published for family and friends. You
right,
can't buy it anywhere.
Yeah.
But it is a great bonding experience. And as the great comic Sam Levinson said, the reason that grandchildren and grandparents bond together is because they have a common enemy.
And there you go. That's all you need. Marshall Karp has joined forces with what? Oh, did you want to?
Kylie. Don't give her credit. Yeah.
Oh, Kylie has a.
I thought you were going to say thank you, Marshall Karp, but don't forget her.
Oh, no, I won't.
She's going to be posting on her Facebook page. She has
Kylie
more,
has a Facebook
she
page.
Has more followers than I do. Yeah.
I don't believe that.
Oh, please.
Okay. Marshall Karp has joined forces with James Patterson for the third book. It's NYPD Red 2. Kidnapping, torture, murder. Only NYPD Red can handle New York's most sensational cases. There you go.
Sounds like an ad guy wrote
that. Sounds good stuff. Good stuff. You know, and you can't, I'll tell you, I've told you this before, but I know you've written this.
I love you, Joe.
Okay. Because, well, it's just the humor. You know the humor. Well, at least I know the humor. It's great. It's a lot of fun to read.
Good thing this is radio. They can't see that. I've written it down, and you're just reading it.
No. NYPD Red 2. It is published by our friends at Little Brown. Marshall, it is always a delight. And Kylie, a delight to have you at my feet as well.
Woof.
Thank you very much. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.